Hi, this is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health. We are all about helping you become healthier and happier by turning around habitual behaviors that create problems for yourself and others. Today's show is about the consequences of a serious habit, methamphetamine use. Not just for people who use meth or people who know people who use meth, but also for people who don't even know anyone who uses meth. There was a news story in the last week that brought this up for me, and I'll be talking a little bit about that. But first, in Habits into Health, we know that learning isn't just about information and insight. So each podcast starts with an opportunity to step back from thinking about and step into being with. We take just a few minutes to be attentive to what's going on physically, because this energetic field that you call your body is the foundation for everything that you are and know about yourself. This is what we mean when we say, let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. So we have an experiential process that is about practical action through inner attunement. The difference is about attention and intention to influence your own responses and create, well, a broader range of options than you've had in the past. And this way you don't have to be trapped in your past behavior. And it's about building a skill set. And that skill set involves recognizing your own inner state. And it generates an experiential base from which you can influence your own behavior. If you're new to Habits into Health, let me just say that in these exercises, I offer suggestions and you're free to follow in whatever way works for you. I will suggest that you do this as a discipline so that you can come to recognize your baseline. And from there, you experiment. And I also invite you to let me know how this works for you at habitsintohealth.com, because your feedback is important. Your comments can be anonymous and are not automatically posted, so just let me know if you'd rather that I keep what you say private. Let's get started with today's exercise. Initially, just be attentive to what you're doing right now. And here are some examples. Sitting. Standing. Driving. You might be walking or lying down, strolling, listening, or looking. Maybe you're multitasking, eating, turning, reaching. And now with intention, slow down just a little and notice, what is it that you do to slow down? Slowing down doesn't mean stopping, but it does mean pacing back, shifting the frequency of your movement. Now, if you're walking, it might seem simple. But what if you're sitting? Or lying down? How do you slow yourself down then? You're just sitting or lying down. Yet if you quiet yourself, you'll notice movement beneath the surface, even if you're just sitting or lying down. Maybe it would mean slowing down the pace of your breathing. You get to decide. In this world where there's so much pressure to get somewhere fast, slowing down is often enough. What's it like to slow yourself down? Taking, maybe just 30 seconds. To pace back. We don't have to think about anything else. You can take note of how you experience yourself slowing down. Can you allow this experience to soak into you? Being with, slowing down, these are words. And these words can guide you in an experience of modifying your pace. And maybe initially you can only do this very briefly. But over time, you may be able to do it for minutes or many minutes. And to whatever extent, if very brief or just for a few minutes, in that moment, you are taking charge of your own rhythm. It's a practice. And practice creates progress. Let's take a transitional moment. Before we discuss our topic, I want to remind you that this is Habits into Health, and we offer information, and we also offer inspiration, and most importantly, opportunities to connect with yourself in ways that support you in finding your own rhythm, whatever that may be. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I'm interested in knowing what you're learning that's valuable or useful to you. What are you struggling with? Come to the website, habitsintohealth.com, and let us know. We welcome your comments on any podcast, or we have articles and blog too. And if you want to discover ways to soften a problem habit so that it's not controlling you, just ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire. There's a spot on the website where you can give us your email address and we'll send it to you. And we'll also add you to our list for our occasional email newsletter. Now, you can just listen and slow yourself down because we're going to be talking about methamphetamine use, which is really about speeding up. And it creates problems not just for addicts, not just for people who use and use in an addicted way, or for the people who care about them. But here's something else to consider. Methamphetamine use also directly impacts other people who may not even know the drug users at all. Who knows, that might include you as well. Now, why would someone use meth? Basically, it creates a false sense of well-being and energy. And so people who try meth can get easily hooked. Then they tend to push themselves faster and further than their body is meant to go. The United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime says that all of this leads to physical and mental breakdown after the effects of the drugs wear off. And this has been my experience as well, having worked with people for many years who are dealing with drug addiction of all kind, as well as alcohol addiction. After the drugs wear off, then there becomes a craving for that sense of speed and power. Meth users wear themselves down because they lose the ability to slow themselves down. They become seduced by speed. Habits into Health is about habits that create problems for yourself and others. And that sounds personal, doesn't it? Say you smoke and your spouse wants you to stop. Or your friend drinks too much when you go out and you're starting to get fed up. Maybe you keep gaining weight no matter what you do. Or you fight all the time with your partner and you can't stop yourself. Well, what if you're the other person who doesn't even know the person with the problem habit, where it's like impersonal? Let's talk about some of the symptoms that meth users experience. And then I'll wrap us back around to how those symptoms might show up in someone who doesn't even know a meth user. So here's a little list. This is from the UN office. Loss of appetite, increased heart rate, and increased blood pressure, as well as body temperature. Disturbed sleep pattern, nausea, bizarre, erratic, and sometimes violent behavior. Hallucinations, hyperexcitability, irritability, panic and psychosis, convulsions, and seizures and death from high doses. And those are just the symptoms from short-term use. And I mentioned these because even if you've never used meth directly, if you have been exposed to it through no fault of your own, you might also experience these symptoms. And wouldn't this be important to know? I think so. Meth is relatively inexpensive to produce, and so people don't need fancy equipment or special settings to create it. And what that means is the drug is often created right at home, and it leaves residue. I first heard about this in the county where I work, Contra Costa County in California in the United States, where there are a lot of rural areas that kind of bred meth labs. And I started to hear about this problem that showed up if a former meth lab wasn't cleaned up, and maybe it might not even have been known to be a former meth lab, that people would move into a home and not realize that there was residue from the cooking process, particularly in their kitchens, on the countertops, floors, and that people can be affected by this. So homes that have been used to create meth become hazardous to health, and incoming residents don't always know what they're moving into. I mentioned earlier that there was a trigger for this topic, and it was that last week I read about a couple in Oregon in the United States, and they had bought a foreclosed home. And within days of moving in, the wife, who was a nurse in an emergency room, she started experiencing problems with breathing. And then the husband started getting migraine-like headaches and nosebleeds. Very shortly after that, their 2-year-old son developed mouth sores, and his dad said it was so painful he couldn't even drink water without crying. And it turns out that the home that they had bought had been a methamphetamine lab. And what if your work exposes you to methamphetamines? In the state of Utah in the U.S., one study found that 50% of police officers whose work required them to investigate meth lab settings came down with the symptoms of meth exposure. Those symptoms that I mentioned just before, you know, breathing problems, cough, throat, eye irritation, numbness, skin rashes, chronic headaches, irritability, insomnia, fatigue, and in some cases, mental illness symptoms. And also, the study showed that there was low thyroid and low testosterone at a higher level than you would find in the general population. Is there any good news about all of this? Well, yes, there is. First, this phenomenon is becoming more widely known. The news about the Oregon couple was reported on October 1st of 2012, and within 1 week, more than 200,000 people had signed an online petition started by the husband in that case, demanding that the U.S. Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, known as Freddie Mac, test the homes that it sells for methamphetamine contamination. And if you're interested, you can find that petition by searching meth labs at change.org. Second, services that help homeowners and landlords decontaminate former meth labs are increasingly available, and the tests for meth lab contamination are relatively inexpensive. I think the Oregon couple spent $50. You can search on the web for meth lab cleanup to find options, or check with your government's health department for different alternatives and ways to go. Third, and I found this was really interesting, if you've been exposed to methamphetamines at home or through work, that preliminary study of police officers just reported last month, September 2012, in the Journal of Toxicology and Industrial Health, and they found that there was a detoxification treatment process that helped. And this included 20 to 30 minutes of aerobic exercise, comprehensive nutritional supplementation that included increasing doses of niacin, which is vitamin B3, moderate temperature sauna therapy. That was an interesting thing that they added, with breaks for every 30 minutes and including fluid and electrolyte restoration. That means they were drinking some special drinks that increased their electrolytes. And they said that totaled up to 4 hours daily, so it's pretty rigorous. But I suppose if you have been contaminated by meth inadvertently, you'd want to do anything you could to detox yourself. In this study, they said the treatment was given each day for 4 to 6 weeks. If you're interested in finding out more, come to habitsintohealth.com and I'll put a link up under this podcast for that study so you can go directly to it. Worldwide, there's still work to do. The United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime says there's a planetary epidemic of these drugs affecting almost 25 million abusers. And so if each of those abusers knows 4 other people, that's 100 million people that are affected by meth use. And they cite big problems in Europe and Southeast Asia, particularly in the Czech Republic, Sweden, Finland, Slovakia, and Latvia, Thailand, and the Philippines. There is some good news in the United States, at least, which is that the number of regular meth users is decreasing. In 2006, 731,000 people over the age of 12 were estimated to be regular methamphetamine users. By 2011, that number was down to 439,000. So it's not perfect, but it's going in the right direction. If you know a meth addict and want to help them, don't be afraid to express your concern. They'll probably defend or deny, but something in them knows that what they're doing isn't good for them or for anyone else. And a lot of people will tiptoe around and they won't say the truth. If you don't feel safe doing that, you might want to check with a treatment program and find an intervention specialist who can guide you and the rest of your family or your friends to the best ways to intervene in the situation. You can also check out crystalmeth.org, which is a 12-step program that the drug addict can turn to, but also has information for you. And you can take care of yourself by going to Nar-Anon. And that's a worldwide support system for friends and family of drug addicts. You can find that at www.nar-anon.org. I'll post a link on the website on that as well. If you do that, you will discover that you're not alone. And I also encourage you to give yourself permission to slow down. Just slow down yourself in the way that we did in the small exercise earlier. Just stop, slow down, maybe only for 30 seconds. Pace yourself. Because if you know a meth addict, or if you're having difficulty with this drug yourself, you probably are not slowing down. And it can help you gather yourself to do the right thing that you know you can do for you. I do want to remind you that you can also get reinforcement and support at Habits Into Health, where we start small and encourage kindness. This is a no-blame process. And it's time to sign off now, so if you want to know more, just visit habitsintohealth.com and ask me to send you that small self-assessment questionnaire to get started. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits Into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks so much for joining me.